Thanks, Sister Lisa. Appreciate you playing today. I wonder if there might be a word of testimony on anyone's heart, or maybe a special I'm not aware of this morning before I get into the word. Anything at all? Bless you, Sister Rachel. We're glad you're well enough to be with us today. We missed you when you're gone. You and Brother Rule both. She asked me the other day, she said, am I welcome back? I haven't been there in so long. I said, of course you are. We've been praying for you and glad you're able to be here today. Anyone else? I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John in just a moment, the third chapter. I do desire your prayers today. Every time I stand, you know, my message, of course, is to everyone. God has a word in every message for everyone. But this morning I want to particularly ask our young people that are here today, and we are blessed with a wonderful group of young people, but I want to ask for your attention for a little while today. And I know sometimes you can get distracted with things in the pew and all that, but I'm just going to ask you to listen today to what God's Word has. And God's Word is always important to us. You know, from the beginning, before anything, God was. And we know that the Lord created man, and the Bible tells us that man disobeyed what God had instructed them. And because of that, sin was born. And when sin was born, it created a break in the relationship, and it created a break in the fellowship that man had experienced with God. And I can tell you this morning that God didn't want it to be that way, and we have evidence of that and proof of that in God's Word and history, because the Word tells us that God sent His Son. And we know that Jesus came with a message on how that men, women, children, how that we could be brought back into the family of God. And, you know, Jesus, when He came, He shared it everywhere He went. And my reading this morning is about a man who came to hear the message of Jesus, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that hath come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I'm going to stop with those 17 verses of reading. My text verse is going to be the 16th verse. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Kids, my thought for a few moments this morning is, it's this. This is what I'm going to title my sermon. It's not that complicated. It's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. Now, that title or that phrase, I guess it could apply to a lot of things in this life. But kids, maybe you have heard your math teacher, or maybe you've heard your mom and dad say about learning your addition or your subtraction or maybe your division that it's not complicated. It's not that hard to understand. Or maybe when you were trying to deal with your multiplication, you know, your timeses, you know, it's not that complicated. It's not that hard to understand. Or maybe when you got to your fractions or your algebra or your calculus, whatever it might have been. You know, when I was the age of some of you that I am looking at this morning, no matter how many times that I was told that it was not that complicated or was not that hard to understand, I struggled, particularly with my multiplications. I had a hard time learning my timeses. And my mom and dad and teachers, they worked for a long time to try to get me to comprehend what that was all about. But you know, one day, I can't even tell you what it was, but one day it just clicked. One day it just came to me where I understood it, and I was able to know them and say them and recite them backwards and forwards. And and when that happened, then I realized that, you know, it's not that complicated. It's not that hard to understand. And to be honest with you, I was one happy camper that I finally caught up with the rest of them in my class, and I understood what that was all about. Kids, I'm not preaching on math this morning, though. But I think that helps you to better understand what I do want to preach on today. I want you to listen closely this morning. And I want to share with you, and I want to share with everyone here about being saved. And I'm going to try to do my best to do it in a way that you can see, that you can hear, that you can understand this morning that it's not complicated. It's not that hard to understand. And I want you to see this morning how that God loves me. And I want you to see this morning how that God loves you. And I want you to see this morning how that God loves everyone that's here in this building today. And I want you to see how that God loves everyone that's in the world. And I want you to see it because he proved it to us. In the New Testament, the first four books of the Bible, we call the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they tell us mostly about the life and about the ministry of Jesus. And John, in his Gospel, tells us some really important facts about Jesus. He tells us about the deity of Jesus. And kids, all that really means is that it tells us that Jesus, he's God. And in the very first book of this, the very first chapter of this book of John, he began by telling us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. What that means is that the life and the existence of Jesus, it didn't begin in Bethlehem. It tells us that he was with God in the very beginning. Jesus was in the beginning because he was part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, John also tells us about the humanity of Jesus. He tells us about the incarnation, or he tells us about the birth of Jesus, and he tells us that God the Son, Jesus, he left glory, he left heaven, and he took on flesh as both God and man. as John told us in that first chapter in the 14th verse. And the Word, and that's Jesus, the Word, it became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Kids, I want you to hear this. There is no doubt, there is no question that God loves us. How do we know that? Well, we know that because He sent His Son. God sent His Son into this world for no other reason other than to save us, to save me, and to save you from our sins. God sent Jesus in the world to make us whole by saving our soul. Jesus came as our Savior. Jesus came as our deliverer. But He also came, brothers and sisters, to demonstrate to you and I how that we are to live and that we might have vision and victory as God's children. My text verse this morning is probably the most familiar salvation verse, I guess, in the Bible. There are many people who are not saved who can quote John 3:16. I'll say that all who have been saved should be able to quote John 3:16. John 3:16 is words that were spoken by Jesus Himself. Kids, that's what those red letters is. If your Bible has red letters in it, that's what those red letters means. It means that Jesus is speaking. They tell us what He is saying, and when we see those red letters, we should also know that what He is saying is important. It's worthy of our attention. It's worthy for us to pay attention, to understand our need, to be able to understand what the Lord is saying. In my reading this morning, Jesus was speaking to a confused religious man. He was confused. He was a man who participated in, he was a man who had dedicated himself to keeping the Jewish law, trying to keep the Jewish law, except no man could. What he had was in his head, but it wasn't in his heart. And he came to Jesus and he was looking for some answers. I hope you kids pay attention. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching? I made a statement, and I said that every soul needs to be saved. Every soul needs to be saved. Every. That means every man, every woman, every child needs to be saved. I needed to be saved. I'm thankful that the Lord saved my soul. There may be someone here today who has not been saved. You need to be saved. And the truth of God's Word says that you can be saved. In fact, the Word says that you can be saved this very day if the Lord speaks to your heart. Every soul needs to be saved. The rich, however you define that, need to be saved. The poor, however you define that, needs to be saved. Those who have great power need to be saved. Those that are under the power of others need to be saved. You kids probably understand that because as you're growing up, in essence, you're under the power of your parents until you're old enough to make decisions of your own. Everyone needs to be saved. It's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. Nicodemus, the Scripture said, he was a ruler of the Jews. It told us there, and I believe from what I've read, that this was a man, not only was a ruler, but he was a man of great wealth. He was a man of great knowledge. He knew a lot of things, not only of the world, but he knew a lot of religious things. And he came to Jesus seeking answers. He came to Jesus seeking salvation. And Jesus spoke to him, and Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot." And you know what that means? Won't be able to. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is told he must be born again. And if you were listening, as I read through that, there was an issue with that. He didn't understand. He questioned Jesus several times. And Jesus helped this man to be able to understand. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus did was explain to this man about the new birth. He explained to this man about eternal life. And brothers and sisters, we need to follow the example of Jesus. Our task is not to make the simple complicated. Our task, I believe, is to tell the truth of salvation in an understandable manner to all those who are seeking, all those that are looking for answers. Kids, I want you to understand this morning that salvation begins with God's love. I know that because the Scripture told us, for God so loved the world. In that statement, He so loved the world. In that statement, we can see the all-encompassing love that God has. We can see how comprehensive it is. We can see how broad the love of God is. We can see how complete the love of God is. God's love is seen at the cross of Calvary, and it extends to the whole world. The love of God is available to every sinner. What I mean by that is that the love that God had for man, it's offered and it's obtainable to every sinner. Now, if you're here this morning and not saved, I don't want you to take an offense. I don't want you to be mad or upset about being called a sinner. When we look at God's Word and what God was saying to us here, He said, the Apostle Paul, in fact, he said, all have sinned. He said, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. And what that means is a sinner is nothing more than an offender of God. It's someone who is a wrongdoer, someone who is a lawbreaker of God's Word. And every one of us are guilty of that. Every one of us are guilty. We either have done something that God's Word said that we shouldn't do, or we've not done something that God said we should do, and that's sin. We're all sinners. Sin separated mankind from a daily fellowship and a daily relationship with God. You know, Isaiah, in the 64th chapter, in the 6th verse, he said, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Kids, when I dirty a shirt of mine, I don't know why, sometimes seems like every time I go somewhere and have something that stains, I end up having it on my shirt. And if I don't use the right kind of cleanser on that shirt, it's no good. I can put something on it to take the stain out, but if it's not the right thing and I wash that shirt and it comes out and that spot's still there, it ain't never coming out. And that shirt is of no use to me anymore. For the soul of a sinner, for someone who's not been saved, to be made clean and to be made whole before our God, it required only one specific cleanser that could take care of that. And I want you to understand this morning that it was made available to all by God's love, and it reaches out to me and to every lost soul. And that cleanser, my friends, was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can take away the stain of sin. What Jesus Christ did for all of humanity on that cross of Calvary. Salvation rests on the price paid by God's Son. And you know, in Jesus, we see a God of purpose. Jesus came into the world with divine intentions. He came into this world to carry out a specific purpose. He gave His only begotten Son. That's what Jesus said. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's Jesus. And that's proof to you and I today of God's love for each and every one of us. It's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. Imagine how this news, as Nicodemus came to Jesus and this conversation was going on, imagine how the news, the words spoken by Jesus, affected this man, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was religious, as I said, and what that meant was he related to and he was devoting himself to the religious beliefs or observances that he was practicing, just like a lot of people do today. There's a lot of people today following religious practices and observances. But Nicodemus, he learned something. He learned that his religion couldn't save him. And listen, kids, I want you to hear this. We're not saved because we came to church today. We're not saved today because we open up this precious book and we read it. We're not saved because we read the Bible. We're not saved because we try to be good people and try to do good things. Let me say this before I get away from that. Every one of those things are good things. It's good to come to church. It's good to hear God's Word. And it helps us to understand that it's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. It's good for us to read our Bible and let God's Word speak to us and let His Spirit work in us. It's good for us to be good to other people. All of those things, they're good things. But listen, they don't save you. Those things will not save you. And that's what Nicodemus discovered. Now Nicodemus hears the best news of his life. The best news of his life is that God loves him. God did not leave him in a situation where he could never come back into a relationship with God. God took care of that. God showed him that He loved him. What the law couldn't do for him, what his religious observances and practices could not do for him, he now understands that God's grace, he understands that the favor and the mercy and the kindness of God can help him accomplish what he's seeking and what he needs. The cross. You know, when I say the cross, what I mean is what Jesus suffered on the cross. It's not the cross that saves anybody. It's what took place on that cross and who it took place with. Because nobody else could have done what Jesus did. There were other men on the cross that day around Jesus, but them dying on those crosses didn't do a single thing for the salvation of humanity. It took the precious blood of Jesus. It's the only cleanser that can cleanse our souls of sin. And that's what it took. On the cross of Calvary, what Jesus suffered on behalf of all of mankind, that guarantees, what Jesus did guarantees that all who respond to the call of the Lord, that all who respond to the invitation of the Lord to come, that they can come with a repentant heart of faith, trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus did for them and where Jesus is now. And they can receive the gift of salvation. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard to understand. Salvation is not received. Salvation is not obtained by works. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. Salvation is attained. Salvation is received by faith and by faith alone. Kids, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that may be hard for you to understand, but listen. The Hebrew writer said this in the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse. He said, through faith, now try to keep in mind what I said a minute ago, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the Hebrew writer says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So how was the world made? How did we get here? The Bible tells us that God called, or God spoke the universe into existence from nothing. He declared that it was to be, and it was. We learn that in the very first chapter of Genesis in the first book of the Bible. It tells us that He made man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, kids, I know that I may seem old to you, but I wasn't there when God created the world. But I believed it by faith. I read God's Word, and I understood what God's Word said, and God said it, and I believed it by faith. Faith is believing that God's Word has awesome power. It's believing that what God said He did, that He did it. Faith is believing what the Bible teaches us about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I wasn't there when they crucified Him on the cross, but I've read about it. It breaks my heart. It's horrible for me to think about what Jesus endured to make forgiveness of my sins possible. But that's what it took. That was the cleanser that God required to make it necessary for me to be saved and for you to be saved. Those who believe in Him, those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible said, will not perish. I read it to you a few moments ago. We will not perish, but we'll have eternal life. What that means is that we're going to have a home in heaven. A home in heaven forever, where we'll be able to enjoy all the promises that God has made. Nicodemus here, he knew nothing about this kind of promise. He was very religious, but he was lost. He wasn't saved. But now Jesus speaks to him. Jesus came with a purpose. He came with a message. And Jesus shared that message with him. And as the Lord shared that message with him, Nicodemus began to understand what God could do for him and the promises of the Lord. God assured Nicodemus that he could be saved. His salvation, talk about Nicodemus's, his salvation was by and through faith. My salvation was by and through faith. Everyone here today that's been saved by God's grace, it's been because of their faith. And if you're here today and not saved, you can be saved by faith if you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That was good news to Nicodemus. What a relief. What a relief this must have brought to him as Jesus explained to him that it's not complicated. It's not that hard to understand, Nicodemus. The same salvation that Nicodemus experienced, it's the same experience that I experienced and everyone that's been saved experienced. And the thing about it is that it's available to everyone, including those that may be amongst us today that have never been saved. God is willing to save any person, no matter what their situation might be. Now I want you to think about that. Over my years in the ministry, I've heard people say, well, the Lord won't save me. I've been too bad of a person. Or the Lord won't save me for this reason. Lord God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son that, what? Whosoever. It wasn't restricted to just this group of people or that group of people or this condition or that condition. God sent His Son into the world that whosoever encompasses everybody that would believe on Him could be saved. What a blessing. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't understand and maybe you don't understand about God. But one thing we do know is that God loves us. God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. Believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. Brother Alan, I want to have a song. I want to have an invitation. If there's a question before us this morning, I guess the question would be, what will you do with the message of God's love? Again, the title of my message was, it's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. The message is about the love of God. And the love of God that was extended to all of us. The question for me, what will we do with God's message of love? You may be able to think of some others, but just off the top of my head right now, to me there's really three responses to that question. What will you do with the message of God's love? If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, one of your options, which is not a good option, it's a horrible option, one of your options is to reject the love of God. If God's Spirit has pricked your heart, well, what do you mean by prick my heart? If God's Word this morning has touched you in a way that you know you're lost, and in that lost condition, you don't have any hope. The Bible is clear about our destinations, right? We're just passing through this world for however long it is. But one day we're going to die. All of us are going to die unless the Lord comes back. And then those that are His children will be changed in a moment, twinkling an eye. But until the Lord comes back, we're all going to die. And we're either going to spend eternity. Will, how long is eternity? That's right. It's forever. It's unending. It's never going to end. We're either going to spend it in heaven, that place that the Lord has prepared for us, that good place, or if you're not saved, you're going to spend it in hell. Hell is just as real as heaven is. Jesus is in heaven. Satan, the devil, and his angels are in hell. And it's a terrible place. I'm not going to get into all the details right now, but one of the choices of what you're going to do with God's message of love today is, a terrible choice would be to reject it if God is speaking to your heart to come. Another response to that question is, if God is speaking to your heart and you know that you need Jesus, it would be to acknowledge that. It would be to respond to that. It would be to come to an altar of prayer and call upon the Lord to save your soul. And He'll do that. And I thought about, there's another response. The other or last response to God's message of love is one of praise and one of thanksgiving. That's where God's people fall into. The first two, we're past those. We've been saved by God's grace and through His mercy. And now our response to it is one of praise unto the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. So let's stand together while we have this song. Listen, kids, and when I say kids, I'm not limiting. There may be an adult here today that's unsaved. But I want you to understand, it's not complicated. It's not that hard to understand. When God's Holy Spirit pricks your heart or touches your heart, and you know that you're lost and undone and you need Jesus, the correct or the proper response would be to make an altar. Whether it be up here where we can bow and pray with you or at your seat, make an altar and call upon the Lord and ask Him to save your soul. That's the purpose for which Jesus came. And I believe if you are sincere in your prayer unto the Lord, then you'll receive the answer of Scripture which says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let's follow the leadership of the Spirit of God today, brothers and sisters. If you're here and lost while we sing, will you come? Will you call upon Jesus today? Brother Allen.